Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman once again with the Approaching the Natural podcast. And each week I come on here and discuss my philosophy of health and my approach to health and happiness, which is one of small steps, the idea being that the closer we get by degrees to what is most natural for us, both mentally and physically, the better we do in this modern world. Understanding, of course, that we're not going to go all the way back to what's natural for us, but that there are things about our natural design that still exist in us, and that when we understand what those are, we can start to grab little steps here and there to include more of what's natural to us in the realm of food and movement and even socializing, which I'll get into a little bit in this episode today, and also creativity and even with technology and connecting ourselves to the earth and all of those kinds of things. I believe that health and happiness are a big picture. I believe they are not achieved by the quick fix model, which is so prevalent in today's society. So if you're just joining me for the first time, that's it in a nutshell. Cool. Great. All right. Thank you. I'm joking. Please go back and listen to the beginning from the beginning. And, you know, they're all little pods of information. They're not in chronological order or anything. They're just jump in and out however you'd like. And for those of you who are longtime listeners or have been with me for a while, welcome back. Again, just awesome emails coming in from everybody, and super cool. One thing I realized is that the last couple episodes, I completely, even though it's mentioned in the in the show opener, but I completely forgot to mention the sponsors of this this year podcast, and so I'm going to do that now. This podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort, Eco Luxury Resort, as they say, on the Mendocino coast of California. And the Stanford Inn has a 41-room lodge. It's got an organic farm that grows much of the produce that is taken up the hill to the restaurant called Raven's Restaurant. And there is a full integrated holistic wellness center that yours truly is the programs director of. And that's called Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well. And that's where you can find me. Had a few people come through this week, podcast listeners, which is awesome, and found out about the inn through the podcast and came up to visit, and luckily I was there. I always tell you guys, like, if you ever come up, shoot me an email first so that, you know, it's not, but luckily I just happened to be at the wellness center. They came in for dinner and I was still there, and I was kind of wandering around once in a while I do that in the restaurant, and I just said, howdy, hope you're digging, you know, what we're doing here. And they were like, we know you, we came up here because of the podcast. And it was super cool. They're very nice, a mother and daughter, and super cool. So yeah, if you ever come up, any of you all, please shoot me an email. My email address is podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. And I run in retreats throughout the year. We got yoga, and there's one called Transitioning to Health Unretreat that I head up. We have a plant-based cooking retreat coming up in a week. I think that's nearly full, but there'll be another one later on in the year. So anyway, with that said, Joan and Jeff Stanford sponsor this year podcast. And so thanks goes out to them each week. And anyway, back to a couple little announcements real quick. Instagram and Twitter, you can find me at Sid Garza-Hillman, Facebook Transitioning to Health. My private practice is transitioningtohealth.net, and you can go there and check out what I do and also catch the podcast episodes. But you can also put your email address in and get a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. So, you know, can't not do that. Instagram. Oh, so anyway, this is, I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but I'm kind of, so the last few episodes I've been doing from my house. Sometimes I do it at the wellness center, and it depends on how the day goes. Today, I packed up my stuff and I have a little case. I think I did an Instagram shot of it a while back, but so you could probably find it if you follow me, but it's of my podcast case, which carries my microphones and equipment and stuff like that. And it's actually my dad's flight case because he was a pilot, and it's from 1967, and I still have the case, which is super cool. When I was doing music more full time, it was my my music case. So it's been all over the U.S. and Canada, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, so now that's my case now. But so I just packed that up and came on home and came down into my. So I realized it's kind of like I'm kind of like in a bunker. And it's in the basement, and you kind of wander back through. And I was remembering that when we moved up to the Northern California coast about 8 years ago, and we looked at this house, the realtor showed us the house and took us in the basement, showed us the garage real quick, and kind of whipped us out. And then when we were really interested in the house and decided we wanted it, we took another trip up here and took a look at it. And then he took me to the garage and showed me this back room. It's kind of like a secret room. What I realized later is that they were growing marijuana in this house. And I think at the time that I looked at it the first time, they had an active garden, as they say. And so when we were actually really interested in it, I think the realtor was like, okay, guys, you got to clean the garden up. Like, harvest. And so all of a sudden there was a magical room in the back, and that is now my music studio and podcast studio. So that's where you are. So I did a little 10-second video entering the bunker, and that's on Instagram if you guys want to check that out. That's where that is. I think you can get it on Twitter too, because I think it launched to there too, and Facebook. So with that said, that's just super relevant to the podcast. But I was remembering it. So there's something about doing a podcast on health and happiness from a marijuana grow room. You do the math. What else I got? iTunes. Please throw me a review. Totally helps the podcast get the word out on it. And I really appreciate the ones that have come in recently. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. Just pop on their iTunes. Throw me down if you guys feel like it. Sometimes I wonder if, because if you search on like health podcast, this will come up. And I always envision like some people just going, oh, it's a new health diet podcast. And then they check out an episode and they're just like, oh my God, that's not at all what I thought it was going to be. I thought he was going to tell me how to change my entire life in 7 days. This sucks. And so, the more you guys review and spread the word about it, the more people understand what we're all doing here, and you're doing it with me. That's for sure. With that said, I have another free Spreecast. The last one was awesome, but I set up another one for June 7th. That's free, June 7th at noon Pacific Standard Time in the United States. Anywhere in the world, you can jump on there, Spreecast.com, Sid Garza Hillman. Follow me on there, RSVP, it's free. And you can shoot up questions, and it's live. So that's how that goes. And I can answer all those questions, and it's pretty cool. T-shirts are on the way, everybody. Got some good response. There was some interest there. Who wouldn't want to wear an Approaching the Natural t-shirt? Honestly, show of hands. Not one person raised their hand just now. That is insane. That's 100% yes on t-shirts. Crazy. Mm. Except for the guy on the rock climbing wall. But you're not my problem. got a really nice email from somebody, daughter and mother. I can't remember where they're from, but the mother is in love with me. I was very pleased about that. And she takes notes during the podcast. Okay. I mean, awesome. Hopefully she's not driving at the same time. Super cool. Got another great email. Woman taking great steps, removing dairy. She's an asthmatic. She's kind of in a way, but kind of easing in on the whole child thing, easing, her kids out of that. But then there's all that wrapped up in that. And I've talked about that before, but I'll briefly say it again. This is a small step process. My whole philosophy is one of small steps, and for a whole host of reasons. But one of the reasons is that there is so much, and I have, like I said, I'll say it again, I have popped onto this subject many a time. there is so much fear and so much just there's a lot wrapped up in what we feed ourselves. That's already. But what we feed our kids is like a whole nother level. And, you know, there's enough fear already with how, you know, I'm a parent, and I know not everybody listening to this is a parent, and that's fine. And it's, so it's, you may not relate to this in a second, but it's, there's already fear, and that can go for loved ones, even if you're not a parent, but just a sibling or friends and everything. There's fear wrapped up in our relationships, especially in the context of the modern world. And what I always say is we're a natural being in an unnatural world. The modern world presents many dangers and unnatural situations for us day to day, minute to minute. I mean, just driving in a car, I mean, just think about how fast you are moving. It is completely unnatural for our species in this machine that has gas and fire in it. you know, it's like there's a lot going on there. We get in airplanes, all these kinds of things. There is so much fear. On top of all that, we're led to believe that if we don't eat certain ways, that we're just going to flat out die. And when it comes to our kids, you know, when it comes to us, we can think, okay, well, I can do a little experimenting. I'm an adult. You know, I'll know. I can always pop back, you know, to what I was doing before, et cetera, et cetera. But with our kids, we can be presented with the most clear information and still be scared to death about guinea pigging or what we think is guinea pigging our kids. And I understand that. And I totally get it. And frankly, part of the reason why I've raised my kids the way that I have is because I firsthand did the research. But who has the time for that? I mean, this is my job. You know, I'm working with clients, and this is what I wrote a book based on my 20 years of reading. But that's not everybody. So you read one thing, and then you go to the doctor, and you're told a completely opposite thing. I get it. So all the more reason, you know, take a deep breath. And this is going to lead me into the subject of this today's podcast. But there's a lot going on there, so it's okay. It's take it easy, learn, know, and you'll get there. You'll get there, okay? And look to the people who are living well. You know, look to the people who are already doing this in their lives. And I still gain inspiration by, and I'm not even like a professional athlete, not by any stretch of the imagination, if you listen to the last podcast, but I'm taking care of myself, and I'm okay. Like, I'm a competent runner and things like that. I enjoy that part in my life. But certainly I gain inspiration from people who are doing this in a way that I go, holy man, how do you do that? You know, and that's pretty cool. And what do you do to do that? And those are good questions to ask in the beginning of this process for you about how to live healthier and happier is, you know, look around. Look out who in your life or who in you come in contact with or come across in books or anything else that's living it, and see how they're doing it. And that's just something to get the juices flowing. On that note, read an article today in Mother Jones online that a recent California Dietetic Association, which is a group of dietitians and nutritionists, had a conference that was sponsored by McDonald's. Not joking. You know, a mind blower, but not, you know, like I was sort of like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And there was like a whole bunch of other sponsors, just huge corporate things. So this is leading me on to the next kind of like, I wonder why we're led to believe that there's so much at stake, when in the wild, we wouldn't be faced with any kind of conflict at all. We would eat plants, they'd be whole because there's no other option. And if we couldn't find plants, we'd eat animals, and those animals would be eating plants, not crazy food and antibiotics and hormones and all the other things that we're doing to animals. And that whole picture wouldn't exist. So in the modern world, we've got interests that have nothing to do with our health and happiness that act like they do. And that's my problem. And I want to cut through that with you guys and really just present, yeah, of course I have an opinion about food. Sure I do. But you know what? If you want to look into mine and other people's, do it. But I want you to get thinking. I mean, I'm a certified nutritionist, but that's 10% of what I do. I want you to get thinking, and I'll get into that in a minute because that's part of what I'm talking about here. And I've done an entire episode, Power to the Thinkers. I want you to think about it. I want you to consider, and I could be wrong, so consider it. But then again, I've been eating a certain way for a long time and doing extremely well on it. So maybe I'm one of the people you go, well, how's that possible? I'm told that if I ate like Sid, I'd be dead. And yet, Sid's doing well, his kids are doing well, his wife's doing well, and there's a lot of other people like him in the world. And, you know, I'm just living the world. I'm living in the world. I've got a job. I don't, you know, I don't have, you know, I work. I'm busy. My family's busy. I'm raising kids. And somehow managing to eat really, really well and totally feeling good doing it and rarely, if ever, sick. So, I wonder, is it magic? Probably. Anyway, so I was thinking that McDonald's is like sponsoring this, you know, California Dietetic Association event, right? And it shows what they're serving. And so, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, it was not like Happy Meals, even though that would be, how awesome would that be, Happy Meals to adults? Like they'd get the little toys. I mean, it'd just be amazing. What a feel-good thing. But they were serving like salads, you know, how McDonald's has those salads. Of course, they had a stand that was serving chocolate and strawberry milk. Don't get me started. Anyway, but I was thinking that it's very brilliant PR for McDonald's, and there's a reason why McDonald's is ubiquitous and hugely successful, and that's because they know how to play the game well. And so they get in as a sponsor by putting up a ton of money and making this thing happen well, and they serve salads, so that's kind of smart. Right now, I know what's on the salad, and you probably do too, but I'm not even going to go there. My point is that what they served probably wasn't the worst thing in the world at this thing, but the connection between McDonald's and the brand recognition that results from this kind of sponsorship is huge. And when you walk into McDonald's and you think, well, I had a salad at this thing, I'm going to walk into McDonald's, what do you think is going to be tempting for you once you walk in that door of that McDonald's? Again, we are designed to find the best calorie sources we can find. In the wild, all those calorie sources would be heavy box. And this is what I talk about in chapter one. It's free if you put your email address in. You can read it yourself, heavy box or light box foods. Heavy box foods are ones that the calories in those foods are jam-packed with the micronutrients, things that help our machines run well and efficiently and with minimal wear and tear. It's like putting clean oil and gas in a car. Light box foods are foods that almost have no motor oil at all. They really have a strain on the machine to create energy. Those are light box foods. Well, in the modern world, we're going to be attracted to light box foods because our bodies don't know the difference. When we're presented with a Big Mac, our bodies think this is the best calorie source ever. They don't understand, because our bodies are still living in the wild, design-wise, they don't understand that this food is manufactured and created and fake. It's unreal. It's not anything that would ever exist in reality, in nature. I'll put it that way. It certainly exists in reality. And so we're presented by that. And so getting into a McDonald's, because you go, well, they sponsored and they serve salads. That's cool. I can go grab a salad. Well, the French fries are sitting there going, hey, buddy, this is so much better calories than the salad. And it tastes amazing with ketchup, and it will get you high. And it will only cost $1.50 or whatever. Yeah, I don't even know how much they cost. Like, I didn't go to McDonald's yesterday. I really didn't go to McDonald's yesterday. I'm not even joking, okay? And I don't want that mom who's in love with me, she's going to change her opinion of me because I made a joke, okay? I did not go to McDonald's yesterday, and I didn't go to that conference. Mm. I wasn't invited. I'm not, my feelings are not hurt by that. I'm just saying I wasn't invited. I would have appreciated an invitation. I would have said no, but I would have appreciated an invitation. You think they couldn't have just sent me in for an invitation? It's a crazy world we live in. How's that for a cliche? It strikes me with my clients that I'm working with and with the people that I talk to and that email me for this podcast and everything else, it's not an easy trek. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I always say I'm not going to sell you a false bill of goods. I'm not going to, excuse me, make promises here, because that's totally the opposite of what I stand for in this podcast. I want to cut through I want to get behind the veil. I want to cut through the fluff that exists in the modern world that's there to sell us stuff. And I want to get underneath all that and say, well, what is it really, you know, where, how do we get back down to the core of who we are as a species? And say, can we wade through this world a little more natural? And it's not, in the beginning, it's not easy. I'm just going to tell you, in the beginning, it's not easy. It's because it's completely foreign to how we're raised. It's completely foreign to how we're, in a way, programmed in this modern world, and me included. It takes an effort to get the ball rolling. And the reason why I'm the small step advocate is because most people won't get the ball rolling at all, because their perception is that to even get started is just too, it's like a gargantuan task. And so when you, and that's why diets, people will do diets over and over again, because there's an end date, right? They're like, well, I can do that for 21 days. You know, I can get through 7 days, especially because they'll like join up with a buddy and they'll be like, look, well, can we just juice together? And then, you know, I'm going to take 45 minutes to juice to get an 8-ounce glass, and I'm going to take another 30 minutes to clean it. So that's an hour and 15 minutes. It's like, oh my gosh. Whatever you do, do not grab food and eat it. Okay. Well, there's just no reason to do that. You should spend a huge amount of your day preparing, especially when you're trying to get healthy. You really need to spend 24.4 hours of every day, cleaning a juicer. That's first and foremost. Okay. You heard it here first. Take notes, mom. Okay. Cleaning the juicer is the most important step you can take to your trek to health and happiness. This is the Approaching a Natural Podcast, and this is Sid Hillman. If there's nothing more natural than juicing, I don't know what is. In fact, they've unearthed a citrus juicer recently, 140,000 years old. Isn't that amazing? A Paleolithic citrus juicer in the Antarctic, because, you know, all paleo people ate the exact same thing. You can tell, because if you just get the paleo diet cookbooks that are out there, I think there's 14,000 of them. They all say the same thing, that all paleo people over the whole earth, no matter where they were living, ate the exact same thing. Isn't that awesome? Even them in Tulsa. I did get I forgot to respond to this. Somebody was like, what's your fascination with Tulsa? I mentioned Tulsa in the book a few times. I have nothing against Tulsa. I've actually don't know if I've ever been. When I was a touring musician, I might have driven through Tulsa. Tulsa in my youth was like the foreign land of yore. My dad would always be like, yeah, well, whatever, to Tulsa. You know, like, it was just like Tulsa was like the faraway land. He would just say like, whatever, like, I'm going to kick that thing all the way to Tulsa. It was like that thing. And so Tulsa is kind of stuck in my head, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't know why. I mean, I have nothing. It's probably like the most amazing place ever. I should probably go. If anybody here is from Tulsa, podcast@transitiontohealth.net. Let me know how it is. All right. So there's your answer. I hope they're listening to this podcast. Okay. So in any case, back to kind of where I was going with that, is that it is in the beginning. It is a thing to take on. I mean, you have to, and this is why, how many times have I said, if you've listened to this podcast before, that maybe listening to this podcast is your first step. And I think that that's exactly where you should begin if that works for you. And there are no fixed step sizes. There are no fixed steps for anybody. It is what you are able to take on, but you first have to decide if you're going to take anything on. You first have to think about your own life and your own health and happiness and decide if you are content with where you are or not. And when you sit with that for a while, then you might decide you're ready to move or you're not ready to move. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there just after they're assuming that they should be this and that, and they're not doing this and that. And then after they think about it, they're like, I'm actually kind of fine. You know, like, okay, cool. I'm done. You know, like, and that's great. I mean, if that doesn't perfect, why put yourself through the madness of diets or anything else if you're actually where you are, good where you are? I mean, that's a possibility too, isn't it? But how do you find out those things? Well, you have to think about them first. And it's that consideration that begins the process, and it's lifelong. And it is part of that process to begin with thinking. And that's what diets and quick fixes don't ever say. They go, well, you want to lose weight because the magazines, you know, we've been programmed to think that there's a certain kind of this and that. Whereas I go back and go, whatever the magazines are saying, there's a healthy state of the human body. And one of the things that's not healthy is to carry extra weight. How much extra? Well, you know you have extra weight. Sorry, but you do. And also too thin. Right? There's the two sides of the same coin. When you appeal to the health of the species, when you appeal to the health of the machine, the scale falls away, the media falls away. It's like, do I have the energy that I want? Can I do the things that I want? Is my skin clean? Do I look vibrant? Right? If it's a scale weight, but you know, for sure there's thin people who are supremely unhealthy. In fact, there's thin people who are way more unhealthy than people who are overweight. You know, it just depends on the health of the machine that you're living in right now. And so it all starts with how you come at your own health and happiness. And that's what I really try to get through in this podcast. Where are you starting from? What is motivating you? What do you really want out of your life? Now, do I think that we're designed for health and happiness? I do. I think there's a natural drive in us to be healthy and happy. I think it's not a bad thing, even if you might disagree with that, to try that on for size. I mean, what's it going to hurt? If you accept the premise that I'm putting forth to say, okay, assuming I want to be healthy and happy, I'm just going to assume that. Then you can start looking at your life and saying, well, what are the things in my life that aren't making me healthy and happy? Or things that are making me happy in the short term, but then overall, I'm not feeling that great. You know, I'm not feeling really good in my body. I don't wake up in a good mood. I'm fatigued. I'm irritable. I'm not getting along with, you know, family and friends. Or how about you're supremely healthy because you eat really well and you exercise, but those things are taking over in your life in ways that are actually causing you more stress, and that the relationship you have with food has become unhealthy. I got a really awesome email from this woman who talked about, I think it's called orthorexia, which is an unhealthy relationship to healthy food. And I've talked about that multiple times in this podcast, that I've seen and met many, many people over the years who eat extremely good diets who are not healthy. And that's because their relationship to food isn't one of vibrancy and self-service. It's kind of gone over the hill a little bit, and it's become a source of stress for them. And that stress is exactly the same kind of stress of any stress that weakens the immune system, weakens digestion, raises blood sugar, raises cholesterol. I mean, I was reading the other day, totally interesting thing, which I've talked about, how it raises cholesterol. Like, I look at high cholesterol levels and I don't go, well, adjust your dietary cholesterol. I ask the question behind the fail. What are the stresses in your life such that your body is creating too much cholesterol? I mean, I have a cholesterol count. It's 136. I think I've talked about that. And I don't consume cholesterol. I haven't eaten cholesterol in 12 years. But I have a cholesterol count because my body produces it. My liver produces it just like yours do. So, but what's interesting is under chronic stress, the body will create more cholesterol. Well, your cholesterol levels will actually go up. And that's because your body uses cholesterol to manufacture cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So the more stressed you get, the more cortisol you need to produce, your body's producing, and the more cholesterol it will produce to create that cortisol. Your body is always doing its job. I mean, another premise to please try on as a favor to me, as a personal favor to me, understand that your body is serving you and itself every second of every day. It is doing the best it can under any circumstance you put it in. You put it in extreme cold, it's going to do the best it can to maintain its temperature. Extreme hot, same thing. Nutrient deficiency, it's still going to try to burn energy. It's still going to try to create energy from the food you eat, no matter what you eat. It's going to figure out the best way it can. It's just that it can only do so much. I mean, it can only do so much before it breaks down. And what we're all trying to do, I'm trying to advocate for, is for you to prolong that time that you have before the breakdown, essentially. I'm trying to help you minimize the stress on your body and your mind so that you can live a full, more full, enjoyed life, a joyful life. I mean, is it a huge stress for me to say that everybody, a single person listening here, wants to experience joy? You know, I'm not saying you got to play tennis to feel joy. I'm not going to fill in the blanks. I don't know what it is. Now, was I a varsity letterman at Kingwood High School in tennis? I was. I do that. I play tennis in high school. I was okay. I also pull a damn good espresso. These are things I'm not going to apologize for. I can also ride a unicycle. Okay, look, I want it all out there on the table. I did play tennis about 6 years ago, and it was as if I had never played in my entire life. I mean, like the ball hitting the back fence. I was like a caricature of somebody pretending to play tennis who had never played tennis before. So that was that. That was that for me. Okay, let's get to the business. Okay, the reason why I was talking about how this is, I don't want to say that it's like, oh, you guys, to take this on is extremely hard. This is going to be a massive. In fact, when you understand the true meaning of small steps, when you truly get what I'm talking about, and hopefully you go back and listen to these podcasts and you're getting it. I'm hoping you're getting it. But when you really understand what I'm talking about, when I talk about small steps, you'll get that I am trying to minimize the stress of a transition that I believe, we all want, or I won't say we all, some of us need or want. Some of us want to transition to a healthier and happier life. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I'm actually as healthy and happy as I want to be. Excellent. Fantastic. But if you're not and you want to improve those things in your life, I'm trying to make it so that you're not adding to the stress, so that you are understanding that this process is a long process. The title of this podcast is The Long View. And that's because I really want to hammer home today that this is a long, I'm going to call it the long view, but in a way, it takes as long as it takes. It's only a long process in relationship to the things that we are sold in diet books. I mean, otherwise, like I've said, like we have no problem training for a marathon and taking 6 months to a year to do that. That's just, we understand that. But when it comes to our health of our body with regards to nutrition, we are sold a whole bunch of stuff that leads us to believe that we're going to achieve this stuff in a very, very short time. And so doing the real work, doing the real transition to actual behavioral and lifestyle change seems long, but essentially it's not. It's just what it is. But there's more to it than that. What got me thinking about this is just, you know, with my work with my clients, but there's a thing that I've looked up before online, and a friend of mine is actually part of the group, but it's called the Millennium Clock. And it's part of this group, and they're building this clock, and I don't know when it's going to be finished, but it's a millennium clock that is counting down 10,000 years. I think it clicks once a year. And the idea of the clock is a philosophical one. It is the idea that to change the way people think about time and about the earth and about our existence as a species and all these kinds of things, and to think and to look at this clock that clicks once a year and to kind of look and stretch out like 10,000 years, I mean, which is in the history of the earth, it's a blip. And even smaller than that, of course, is our own individual, you know, time on this earth, which is just a millisecond in comparison. So, it got me thinking about this whole process and how I work with clients, and my model of working with clients is a minimum of a month. You spend a minimum of a month with me. And I think for some people that seems like, well, that's a long time. And I'm finding out more and more that I just wish I had a year with everybody. You know, I can't do it, you know, logistically speaking, but to shepherd people through that process. So there, it's like an intense month with people because I'm trying to build a framework and trying to build a foundation so that they never have to work with me ever again, you know, so they've got that kind of thing. This podcast too, I'm trying to build in with you guys who are listening to this a framework each week so that you can take this work and continue this on your own. But it isn't a short-term comparatively, it's not a 21-day thing. It's not even a month thing. It's a beginning. The beauty of it is there's a few things that are really beautiful about this process, in my opinion. One is that it may seem miserable. Let's say this is, I'm just going to set an arbitrary time here. Let's just say this is a 2-year process. Okay. Now, 2-year process. Okay. Now, probably if I said to you, you're going to start this transition to health and happiness. You have some extra weight that you told me you want to get rid of. I'm going to try to work with you. I'm going to make you listen to this podcast. I'm going to force you to listen to this podcast, and you're going to get it burned in your brain that it's not about weight. It's about health. So you're going to go, okay, fine. Yeah, fine, Sid. Fine. Jeez, Louise. Again, you have to, you know, like a broken record. But yes, okay, fine. I want to make my body healthy because then I know that I'll have a healthy weight and I'll have healthy skin and I'll have increased energy and decreased inflammation, all things that come from a healthy body. So what I really am wanting and designed to have is a healthy body. So I get it. What do I do? And I'm going to say, well, this is all hypothetical. No, this is actually happening. 2-year process. Now that may seem like a long time and you might go, geez, 2 years? I'm taking on this thing for 2 years? It seems miserable, but if you get clear on what this process actually is, then it becomes very quickly a lot less miserable. And that's because this process is not about weight loss. You know, it's, for instance, if I just said, well, it takes 2 years to lose weight, you'd be like, well, I can see 1,400,000 books to my left that say I can lose weight in 21 days. Okay, well, sure, because they're talking about weight loss and they're not talking about how to keep it off. But if you understand what the process actually is, which is actually changing your life, then not only is it not miserable, it's actually kind of exciting. It also makes total sense that it takes a long time because your life is complicated and you're living in the modern world and you have things to do and you can't check out during this time. Most of us can't. Most of us can't just check out from family and friends and habits and all these kinds of things and just lock ourselves away. And even if we could, we'd still have to enter the world again. And all those things would come rushing back if we don't apply the thought that it takes to make that change. If we look at it in terms of a long view, we understand that it takes time to wade through the fear that I talked about before, to gain awareness, to sometimes and often actually confront things in ourselves, things about ourselves that maybe are locked away, but that are the reason why we go to light box foods or maybe too much movement, too much exercise that is, you know, stressful on us because we don't want to deal with certain things, and all the more reason to take your time. I mean, no matter what age you are, if you decide today that you want to change your health and happiness and you want to, you know, increase those in your life, no matter what, you're dealing with years that have led up to this point. When we are faced with a 21-day something, it's only promising us a very, very, very narrow effect. It's not promising us the real deal. This is about the real deal. Now, what I was thinking about today is this actually doesn't prevent or preclude anybody from doing a diet. In fact, I would say if you're still in the process of being, you know, attracted to diets, which makes sense, right? Because again, we're attracted. This is our natural design to be attracted to joy and happiness. Quick fixes play into that. We go, why would I spend 2 years on Sid's dumb plan when I can spend, you know, a 10-day cleanse and lose 6 pounds? We are going to be so taken with that model. We're going to be as taken with that model as we are with a doctor telling us that milk is good for our bones. It's like we can see the knowledge maybe, and we've gotten the information that tells us otherwise, but it's like, well, that's just the reality. And we look at that diet and we go, 10 days, I can lose 5 pounds. That's why would I ever do anything longer than that? forget about that it's not real weight, because there's no way you're losing 10 pounds of pure fat in even in 21 days. Ain't happening. It's water weight, and you're going to gain it back. And you're going to get it back. So you can't even keep it off. Forget about that. It's still attractive to us. But when you understand that the process of changing and transitioning your health and happiness is a long view, if you take the long view on that, then you can actually fit diets, if that's where you're at, where you're just like, I know, but it's so tempting. Like, the diets are so tempting. And look at this new one. It tells me that my blood type is determining the kinds of food I'm supposed to eat. And so my blood type is this. And so I should eat these kinds of foods. And I'm totally different from you, even though we're 99.9% genetically related. And there's no scientific basis for the blood type diet. But that doesn't matter, because it's so attractive. It's so attractive. And so my point is that if that's where you are in this process, if you see it as a process and you take the long view and you look at the rest of your life and you go, you know what, I'm just going to kind of ease my way in here, and I'm still tempted by diets, and Sid, his thing makes sense to me in a way, and I know that I want to, I'm kind of thinking about this with my mind and going, I want to build these new behaviors, but these diets are kind of, they're still drawing me in. Make them part of your process. Make the diets part of your long-term process. Do the diet. Enter them. Try doing the next diet that you do to get to know yourself better. While you're in that diet, ask yourself, why are you doing that diet? You're not bad. Are you kidding? I've done them. Everybody's done them. If we want to get healthier, we want to lose weight, we're going to go there. It seems like the easiest way to do it. It just doesn't work, and it might take us all time to, however much time it takes each of us, to figure that out, and that's okay, right? But why don't you make diets part of the process? Ask yourself, during that diet, are you missing social engagements? Are you missing special meals with friends and family because you're on a diet, because you have a list that somebody handed you that doesn't even know you, by the way, but it's in the back of a book that you bought and it's not tailored to you at all. And you got to follow that thing. Do it. And ask yourself, take advantage of that time and go, does it feel good for me to remove myself? Can I do this for the rest of my life? What happens if I gain all the weight back? How will I feel? When people tell me at the end of 21 days how amazing I look, how does that make me feel? Does it make me feel good, or does it make me feel nervous that I'm going to gain it back? Is there fear around that? How about this? Even though you understand that the weight may not stay off because it's hard to keep it off if you haven't learned the actual behaviors, check in with your body how you feel when you actually are less heavy, when you've lost that weight. How does that really feel? It's okay that you're going to probably gain it back. Statistics show you are. But you could take advantage of that time and go, you know what, I want to remember this. I want to remember how I feel when I actually felt more energy. Some of these diets, the nutritional part of them is very sound, and you probably will feel after 21 days more energy, and maybe, you know, you'll lose some real weight. Not probably as much real weight as they're promising you in terms of real weight, but you kind of lose some weight and you get more energy, and you might even, your skin might clear up and all these kinds of things. Take advantage of that. Go, you know what, I'm in this long process, but I want to see what this feels like. I just want to see what this feels like, because that might be a good motivator for you to continue the work that you're doing. And how excellent for you if you learn from that. And maybe you don't. Maybe you just listen to this podcast during the time that you're dieting and you haven't hooked that up yet, and that's okay too. When you take the long view, when you apply the millennium clock idea to your own health and happiness, it takes a lot of pressure off yourself. It makes a bad day a big whoop-de-doo. It especially makes a single meal a whoop-de-doo. In fact, what I was thinking about is you can have two people who look exactly the same, who are exactly the same level of health. Maybe they're overweight, maybe they're not healthy at all, maybe they're fatigued the exact same way. And those two people could be in completely different places in their lives, in their own practice to increase health and happiness. One person just couldn't even have begun. And the other person could be totally in the zone. Have they manifested all the physical changes that come with a healthy body? No, not yet. Maybe not. Maybe they're not in that place yet, but maybe they're starting to think. Maybe their step is that glass of water in the morning, first thing in the morning, or maybe they're walking down the hallway, or maybe they're standing up at their desk once a day and doing three squats. The outward appearance of them is somebody on the outside would look at them and go, oh, those guys, yeah, they're exactly the same. They're exactly the same level of unhealth. They're just totally, both those guys, totally unhealthy. And yet one of them is making huge steps because they've begun the process. And they've begun the process by thinking about their own health and happiness. And it will take time, but they're doing more, that one person is doing more than the other person. And it's, yeah, you don't see it yet, but so what? When you start to see it, it's there forever. Whereas a diet, you're going to see it, but it ain't going to stay. The complexity of the body and mind are such that I'm sorry to say this, this is my opinion. There can never be real progress in a short period of time. There's only the outward perception of real, there's the outward illusion of real progress. I mean, it's the weight loss after the 10-day cleanse. It's an outward illusion of progress, but it's not real. You know, it's like either weight loss or like in the mental thing, it's like dreadlocks. You know, you're like a meditation retreat and then you've got dreadlocks. And everyone's like, oh my God, that guy's totally enlightened. Look at the dreadlocks. It's totally enlightened. Outward illusion. The real work comes from thinking. It is all about thinking. It is beginning with thinking and it is continuing with thinking. And the long view is like, okay, I'm starting this thing. I mean, just for a minute, just play with me here for a second. For a minute, just think, I'm going to start this process. I'm just going to take 2 years. Maybe I'm going to take 5 years. Go even longer. For the next 5 years, for the next 7 years, I'm going to just start this process. Do you think it matters that you didn't do something perfectly or not exercise on a given day? Do you think that really matters on a given day? It doesn't matter. All of a sudden, you've taken the weight off and you're like, yeah, I missed a day, but I'm learning and I'm learning about myself in the process. The process of the long view is you get to the end of your 7 years, you realize quickly that there is no end. You live your life during that whole time. You don't check out from life. You're not checking out to do a diet or checking out to do this. You're engaging more fully in your life. You're deciding for yourself who you want to be and how you want to live. And you're doing that today, right now. And you're not saying, okay, well, therefore I want to transition my health and happiness. So therefore I have to do drastic changes today. You're going, you know what? I'm going to begin this process of learning about myself. I've been living for 22 years. I've been living for 34 years. I've been living for 45 years. I've been living for 67 years. I've been living for 80 years. And I'm going to start this transition and I'm going to begin thinking about my health and happiness. And that is the beginning of this step. But it's not, you find out very quickly that it isn't to get to something. It is to begin living your life. I mean, it's checking in. It's engaging. You're engaging in your life. And I was actually in preparing for this podcast episode, I was thinking about Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you've ever heard my addiction episode, I mean, part of why we're drawn to light box foods and quick fixes in general is an addictive, that kind of high, it's a pleasure center issue for us in the modern world. And you know, when we are drawn to light box foods, ice cream, you know, things that they flip a little switch in us. And there's an addictive quality there. We are addicted to food in the modern world, all of us, because a lot of the food we eat has nothing we don't go to it because we go, I must need the nutrients in that food. You go, what do I feel like eating? And then we try to say, what I feel like eating, it must be because of the, you know, protein. I must need that. I must need the calcium. That's why I want I dated a girl once and she was like, if you have craving for ice cream, it's probably because you need the calcium. And I was like, yeah, probably. Because, you know, she was cute. And but later on, I was like, that's not true. You're cute, but that's not true. And so we get drawn into that kind of thing. And it's about addiction. It's about that kind of thing. So I was thinking about Alcoholics Anonymous because I relate food, you know, it's like the unnoticed addiction. You know, we're all just like, that guy's an alcoholic. He better get help where's that Twinkie I was in the middle of? But the reason why Alcoholics Anonymous is extremely effective, and I've known many people who have been in the program and can obviously, what do they do? Continue the work, don't they? They continue the work, don't they? They don't go, I'm done, I'm cured, whoop-a-doo-doo. What Alcoholics Anonymous does, and the reason why people go to meetings repeatedly, is because it keeps the process that they're in in the forefront of their lives. They don't forget. They have to think, because they're going to get back into the modern world. And in the modern world, at any time, nobody is stopping them from getting a drink. Nobody. In the modern world, they can drive whenever they want to get a drink wherever they want, with little effort and little cost. Sounds like fast food, doesn't it? But when you begin, and this is what I kind of jumped on at the very beginning with the idea of the tribe, and kind of how we evolve socially. We evolved in a tribal setting. I address this in the book, and part of that experience in the tribe was to share our experiences with other people in our tribe. Well, the modern world has once again removed us more and more from what is natural to us, and so we have physically separated ourselves from our tribes. We are become isolated. Like, I definitely, that's part of my life that I've taken steps and am recently taking steps to improve in my own life. And that is, you know, we had twins, and you know, we have a 9-year-old, and we had twins, and it was like busy, and we're both working full time, and for a while we were just like shut-ins. You know, and we definitely noticed, and we pretty fast, you know, we're like, we got to do something, you know, like get out of the house, you know, like total cabin fever. Is like, we got to figure out how to make a little bit of time about that, you know. And now we're, you know, the twins are a little older, and so they're a little more self-sufficient, and they're, you know, easier to, you know, we're not on as much of a sleeping schedule, all these kinds of things. And so we're actually socializing a lot more, and it is totally part of the quality of our lives, and seeing friends and being with friends and using technology in a way that is life enhancing, you know, throwing a text out to somebody who you have. And I've been reconnecting with people, and I still don't have a ton of time. So sometimes texting is what I got. It's the best I can do right now. But if you come at your life in terms of what is the best I can do, then it's not the best that somebody else says, it's the best you can do based on what you think is the best you can do. For me, sometimes throwing a text and telling a family member that I haven't been in contact with, hey, I'm thinking about you. That takes 5 seconds. Do you know how much that adds to my life to do that and to get a response back? And there's just a little connection there. Is it as good as spending a vacation with that person? No, of course not. I don't have the time right now or the money. Okay. T-shirts, you know, when those come out, by God, that's going to fix my minivan. But in all seriousness, like, you take those little steps to include the things that add to your life. That's what taking the long view does. Because if I said, well, the only way to value, to have a relationship with somebody is to spend, you know, an hour, 2 hours a week with them, then I would just not do it at all because I don't have the time. I'd be like, well, I can't do that. So therefore, boom. But I certainly go, well, I'm going to take steps to that end. I'm going to take steps to include the things in my life that are quality for me. And I'm going to include them in amounts that I can handle that aren't adding a ton of stress. Is it a change? Yes, it is. Is it maybe a little bit of stress? I guess. But what if you guys try on for size that you can create steps so small that there really isn't stress? And when you do things day to day, because you're adding a step in that's so easy to do that you literally can't not do it. It's so friggin' easy, walking for 30 seconds. It's so hard. I feel like sometimes the only frustration I have in my own practice and in this podcast is I just wonder if I'm getting this across in a way that you're really understanding and you don't have to take it on. I have this total urge in me to just like, I really want to get this across. And when I speak in public to people, I really try to drive this point home, because if you get it, because people go, oh, yeah, small steps, you want to ease your way into it. But they don't get what I'm really talking about. They think, well, I didn't exercise today because I didn't, you know, X, Y, Z, and yet they were walking all over the place, you know, and they're forgetting that exercise didn't used to be a thing that we did at some point during the day. It was integrated into our lives. Movement was integrated into our lives. Only in the modern world is it not, and we have to make an effort to carve out time in our day to exercise. That's a new thing that our bodies don't even understand. Our bodies don't go, why are we moving for no reason? Our bodies do that. Where's our tribe? What happened to our tribe? Why is our tribe not around here? What happened? The body doesn't even understand that. It's a foreign world for our bodies still, and our minds in many ways. I mean, the reason why these things are so add to our lives so much, to be with loved ones and friends, the reason why it is that juice that like gets us going and it feels so good. It's the same reason why, you know, I address this in the book, you know, walking in nature, looking at a sunset, you know, like there's a reason why it affects us, because it's a natural state of balance. It's a natural state of experiencing the world. It's how we're designed. We're in our element when we are with our tribes. We're in our element when we're eating heavy box foods. We're in our element when we're moving our bodies in natural ways that don't add stress to us. We're in our element when we are connected physically to the earth. We're in our element when we're creating with our minds. It feels what? Natural. It's like, oh yeah. There's no, you don't go like, it's just like, yeah, I'm in the zone. I got it. I'm right there. I'm in the pocket. The way to experience what that's like is to take the long view. The way to experience what that's like is to start now. And you can start now. You don't understand from a diet what it's like to feel something natural, because a diet isn't natural. It's not natural to you. But you can start thinking about your own health and happiness. That begins. And you can say, take the pressure off and say, I don't have to do this in 21 days. I'm just going to start the I don't know how long it's going to take. And then you'll quickly find, guess what? It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how long it takes. When you begin that process of thinking about your own health and happiness and taking small steps that are not stressful to you, it begins a lifelong process of fulfillment and enjoyment and a quality of life that you've never known could exist. And the growth, once you begin the foundation, is exponential. So if you want to get to a healthy weight and you're adding a small step, like a minute of exercise, you'll be surprised if you do a minute of exercise every day and you start this and you 2 weeks later you've exercised every day. You'll be very surprised at how quickly from that point your steps grow to huge. You're not adding 5 more seconds. All of a sudden you're like, I'm just used to exercising. It's in my brain now. It's just what I do. Now I'm just going to go for 10 or 15 minutes. Well, that step from a minute to 15 minutes is gargantuan. It's huge. The steps are big. You've got to set the foundation first. And when you set the foundation first, you grow in huge ways. But you can do that when you go, you know, I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know and I don't care. I want to learn about myself. I want to learn about who I am and who I want to be. And that takes a while, because the world isn't designed for me to do that. So I've got to figure out a way to continue going to work every day, continue raising my kids, continue saving money in my 401k. I hear that people do that. I don't really know. And I've got to figure out how to make my life better in that context. So I can't quit my job. Don't want to kick my kids out. They're only 4. So I've got to figure out, how can I begin a process of living healthier and happier in the world that I am now, in this world that I'm living in now, in the life that I am living in now? How can I begin this process? Well, I could do a turn my life upside down plan, but that's got an end date. That's a diet or a quick fix or a fitness plan that you're not going to stick with, because it's a huge, talk about stress. Or I can just say, you know what, this is going to take a while. That's okay. It's going to take how long? It's going to take as long as it takes. Well, how long is that? I need to know how. I don't know. And you'll stop caring because it's, you're in the practice. That's why I always say it's, I talk about it as a practice, like yogi, you know, yoga instructors don't go, I finished it 10 years ago. I finished my practice 10 years ago. I just became an instructor. They usually, good ones, go to other people's classes. They're always learning. They're finding out about their bodies. They're experimenting with their breath and their, you know, all the things they're doing. They're living they're growing always in theory. It's a practice. They'll tell you. Most yoga instructors will tell you it's a practice. It's because that, talk about the ultimate long view. But it is not about yoga. It's about life. And it's about taking, it's about looking at the rest of your life. I don't care how old you are. And understanding more and more about yourself each day with this, through the steps that you take to bring in a little more of what's natural to you as a human species, as a natural being. Food that is unmessed with. Movement that is natural. Now, again, if you enjoy going to spin class, I think it's fantastic. If you don't, then don't. I mean, if it adds stress to your life, that stress will break your machine down. So you just go, interesting. That spin class is pretty stressful for me. Or, I really actually love that. But not, I got to go to spin class because my fitness instructor told me to, or this DVD plan is telling me to do this thing that I don't really want to do. It's a process. I'm in the process too. I did that with my marathon training plan. I got to tell you, I haven't run for a week. I ran my marathon last week, took the week off. I recovered brilliantly, and I probably could have run 5 days ago. But I was like, you know, I'm going to take a break. I love not having a plan. And actually, I'm thinking about doing another marathon. I don't know when, but I was kind of thinking about it in December. My wife was like, seriously, you're really, like, you just were saying how you're so happy to not be, this is how I think, right? But I'm actually toying with the idea of not doing a training plan for the next one. Not following a training plan. Just running. And if I feel like running on faster on a given day, I'm going to do that. And if, I mean, I'm just had this liberation of, like, you know, in the last marathon, like during the training, learning how to run without a watch was a huge for me. I feel like this is an evolution, you know, more important than the time. I'd still like to break 4 hours, but obviously following a training plan that was double the mileage of the training plan before didn't yield me that 4 hours. So I'm going like, okay, well, what if I enjoy the training process even more? How about that? Would that be less stressful for me? Yes. Would that maybe mean I could improve physically even better? I'm going to see. Why not? It's fun. That adventure is long view. It's looking at the rest of your life and going, I'm going to come at life from a place of adventure and fun and joy. And I'm testing and I'm not going to be restrained because somebody says you have to follow a training plan to run a marathon. When you're liberated from that way of thinking, when you're liberated from restriction, when you're liberated from rules, you can try anything. Let's say I do this and I do a marathon and I don't finish the marathon. Whoop-de-doo. I got a whole life ahead of me. Maybe I'll lose interest in that and I'll try something else. Take the long view. Try it on for size. Just tomorrow, when you wake up, think, what would it be like if I was just beginning a process right now that was 5 years long? Would me getting out of bed right now, would I have to be pressured, feel pressured to do something in this moment right now if I was beginning a 5-year process of something? Those are the questions just start asking. Don't even worry about the answer. What would I do? What would I do if it's going to take me 5 years? What would I do? What would I start to do? What would I ease my way in? What would I play around with? What would I experiment with? Would I come at my life with these questions and this adventure and this embarking on this thing? Or would you say, yeah, the 5-year thing, I don't know, man. I think I just want to try this diet again. Okay, I wonder why I feel like I want to do diets again. I'm going to do this. I just want to see what this is like. Doing on a diet, thinking that this too is part of the process of getting to know myself. Doing another diet to finally get that out of my system so that I'm not looking back and going, geez, I wonder if that would have worked. I want to get to the point where I don't want to do diets anymore, where I really, really don't want to do them. And I can take my time. I can do a few diets because I'm taking the long view here. So I'm going to do two or three diets this year. And eventually I might get to the point where I really realize they don't work. And then I'll know for sure. Not because somebody told me, not because Sid told me that diets don't work. I want to find out for myself. I'm in a long process here. I'm going to take my time here. I'm going to find out about myself, about who I want to be, how I want to live my life, who I want to spend my days with, how I want to connect to the earth, how I want to nourish my body. I want to find out all those things. It takes time, everybody. It takes time. There is no, you could do that or you could do the diets. That's another option. They don't end up with the same result. It's apples and oranges. It's not the same. It's not like, well, this way gets you health and happiness, and then the diet gets you health, and the diet gets you weight loss. They're two different goals. They're two different goals. Decide which goal you want. Decide what it is you want for your life, and understand, or at least take on this idea, that you have a natural design for health and happiness. I'll argue that till cows come home. I think we're designed. Right now, your bodies are doing a whole bunch of stuff right now to make you as healthy as possible, given what your body's dealing with right now. It's like, I'm just going to do the best I can here. Your mind is going to try to deal with the stress in your life in the best way it can. Sometimes that's distraction with a Ben and Jerry carton, because that's your mind going, I can't deal with the stress. It's too much for me. It's overloading me. I've got to dissipate this. I'm overloaded. But learning about yourself, taking the long view, allows you to become a stronger person physically and mentally, so that you can sustain even greater stress before the tipping point. You're able to handle more. You're able to handle more with time, with knowledge, with knowing more about yourself, with getting to the truth about getting through the marketing and advertising in the modern world, getting to that, and all of a sudden the fear is dissipating, the stress is dissipating, and you're able to walk through the world as your own person more and more every day. It's a process. And taking the long view takes the weight off your shoulders and allows you to begin this process and understand that it is all about the process. It is the process. All right? You agree? You guys are awesome. Keep the emails coming, and join me next week for another episode of Approaching the Natural Podcast. You guys are awesome. And in the meantime, be well.
Take its place. There are no more words that I could say. We are bare and our hearts break. That a threadbare moon will take its place. Away, flows out from a simple view.